Hey guys, I'm Stevie Nelson.
And I'm Dave Horwitz.
And this is I Burn Everything, a food and relationship podcast.
Stevie, it is episode 99.
I can't believe we made it to 99 and we're both still alive.
I can't believe that we didn't start counting our episodes until like a month ago.
And then we realized we've done so many. It's very funny to just like be do, I don't know. It just feels like we just wake up and do them and it's not a big deal. But like then suddenly to get into like, we're almost at triple digits. That feels insane.
It's such an odd project to do over the course of 5 years. Cause we've said it before, but you know, most podcasts that go this long, we have hundreds by now, but because we've taken breaks, we're now literally completely different people than we were when we started. And now we're doing our shows in our own homes. And, you know, you have a new puppy and I have a new puppy. And I don't know when we'll ever be able to go outside again. And 5 years ago, I was like, oh, I got this office job and I went on a couple of dates with this girl. It was weird. Or like, hey, we're going to have.
Gosh, yeah. Dave, like 5 years ago, I was like, I think I fell in love with the love of my life. And we like met at a coffee shop and kissed on our first date. And like, it's like stuff you wouldn't even do today because A, pandemic, and B, like, we are just in different – we are just in different places today.
Boy, do I remember that. Dave, today's episode is going to be great. I think I met the love of my life. Well, you know what? I just biffed any opportunity to make a great segue, but I think we should start the episode because our guest fucking rules.
She's incredible. She has such a good energy, and she is like – she shines so bright. She is a comedian. She's an actor, and she's a white – oh, God. Of course I said white.
Wait, I think it's because you are getting nervous about saying her name because –
her last name because it gives me a bit of a speech impediment.
So, okay, we got to keep this in because that was really funny.
I have no intention of cutting that out. I really – you know, sometimes I stutter, and sometimes I also like W's and R's hard for me. So she is – I'm going to try again. She's a comedian. She's an actor. She's a writer.
Yes.
Addie Weirich. Wow. That is a mouthful.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
What's up, you guys? Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Are you kidding? Thank you for being on our 99th episode. Mm.
I know. I was really trying to make the joke of like, I got 99 problems, but this podcast ain't one. But I was like, but that's actually not working. Like, because it is. This podcast is not a problem of mine. No, it works.
No, yeah,
I got 99 episodes, but Addie hasn't been on one.
And there we go.
There we go. But then it's incorrect because I'm the 99th. So it's the math doesn't work.
Yeah, no,
or
the
it's
math.
Like you have 98 problems or 98 podcasts and Addie's on one. Like as right. In you're on one in the proverbial sense and you're on one episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like we hit 99 podcasts and Addie's on one.
We got 99 podcasts and Addie's on one. I think that is it, and I think Disney would approve.
I don't think there's any need to brainstorm any further. I think like when you nail it, you nail it.
This is like such an immediate tangent, And I'm like, but there's this improv game that we used to play when I did like a hip hop improv class. I know it'll kill me, but it's honestly it's the best. It was taught by North Coast hip hop improv group in New York, and they're amazing. And it's like a rhyming game. So it's like you follow the, if you're having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. But instead of saying girls are bitch, you would say something different. So to say the rhyming word is like, is grass. So you could be like, if you're having park problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but grass ain't one. If you're having window problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but glass ain't one. And like, you would be in a circle and you'd like keep trying to go in. So it's kind of like you have to think of the rhyme, but then think of the word that would make sense in the beginning.
Oh, wow. So, that's fun.
So it's really like, fun. If you're having, Not so going off of grass, if you're having knob problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but brass ain't one.
Yeah, if you're having church problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but mass ain't one.
Oh my gosh.
If you're having booty problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but ass ain't one. It's just, you can just keep going. Give me another rhyme scheme. Give me another word.
All right, let me see.
Nature,
you want me to rhyme nature? You can do bees or like
trees.
Okay, because then it's like, if you're having oak problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but trees ain't one. If you're having honey problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but bees ain't one. If you're having joint problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but knees ain't one. If you're having itchy dog problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but fleas ain't one. If you're having manners problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but please ain't one. If you're having smile problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but cheese ain't one.
Oh,
like, say cheese.
I am. Hey, Addie, thank God you exist. This is such a good way to start anything.
I am an only child. This is like how I spend my time, like moving around the house.
You are an only child?
Yeah, I'm very aggressively an only child. Yeah.
I have a theory that two things about only children.
Okay,
I'm a
great.
Middle child, so yes. I have a lot of theories about everything. But
okay, great.
Only children are, number one, they're always stars. They're stars because you're born the center of the universe for sure. And honestly, they're the only people I ever have problems with.
I mean, yeah, same. I mean, also same. Like, I hope that I don't give people problems, but I will say about the stars thing, my parents, God bless them, incredible people, they used to, I had a show in New York called Only Child Syndrome, and I hosted it at Union Hall in Brooklyn, and I would introduce people the same way, and it's because when I was a child, my parents had this bedroom that had like kind of like double doors. They're very small, thin double doors in like a row home, but you know, you could still push them open, you know what I mean? And so I would go on the other side of the door, my parents would be waking up, they'd be in bed, and for literally like an hour, they would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the star of our morning, Adeline Judson Wyrich." And then me, like 2 years old, would fling open the doors and go, and I'd like run in, and my head would like bob just barely over the bed. And then I would like strike a pose, and I would be like, "Again." And I would just go right behind the door, close it, and they would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, the star of our morning, Adeline Judson Wyrich." And I would just do it over and over and over again. And so when I did Only Child Syndrome, every time I would like host, like Lisa Traeger is like an incredible stand-up, and I had her on the show multiple times, and so it'd be like, "Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the star of our evening, Lisa Traeger." And then the next person would be like Monroe Martin, and it'd be, "Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the star of our evening, Monroe Martin." So like everyone was the star of the evening. So I wanted everyone to feel how it felt to have my parents.
Honestly, even just hearing you say it, first of all, that's so cute that your parents did that. But even just hearing you say that, like, the star of our evening, there's something in me that's like, yeah. Like, it makes you really like feel good, and it doesn't even have to be about you.
Oh, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the star of this podcast, Stevie Nelson.
I come in with guns blazing.
Such a different vibe than like 99% of shows I've either been on or seen, where it's like, all right, let's keep it going, guys. Your next comic has been on John Oliver's New York stand-up show in 2012 and currently writes for TBS's People of Earth. Put your hands together for Stevie Nelson. And then they come out and they're like, "Hey, guys, dating's weird.
I'm depressed." Yeah, it's such a better energy to come out like just being like, let's celebrate. Let's make everyone a star.
Well, I feel like, I mean, I have like a theater background, and by theater background, I mean like I went to theater camp. I like did theater in high school. So like I felt like my first kind of like introduction to performances was like, you're putting on a show. So it's like there's an audience, they're paying a ticket, like there's props, there's like a lot of effort went into the show. And even when I would do improv, like my favorite improv mentor, Anders Fors, he is like from Sweden, and he would say, like, I know, very cool, Sweden drop. He would be like, the show is 90% the audience, because without the audience, they wouldn't, there wouldn't be a show. And I feel like whenever I will host a show either by myself or like I have a monthly show with Nick Kocher and Demi Adejuyibe at Dynasty Typewriter called Everything's Great. And
we're Demi fans.
We love Demi. We love Nick. And we also love Eric,
I don't know Nick,
who is our producer.
Big fan of all of them, but don't know them. Only know Demi.
Okay, you gotta meet Nick and Eric. Eric is a wonderful producer. It was just his birthday. We put on this monthly show, and we really like for it to feel like a cohesive show. And like, we have group bits, we have high energy, we are selective about guests, like who we're pairing together with guests, and like the music that we're pairing together and the group bits that we're doing. And we want it to feel, you know, like you're coming to see a specific show and there's a reason why you're going there. I love all kinds of shows for all kinds of reasons. I love the, yeah, your next guest, what's up with dating? Like there's a certain love for that too. It's just not the energy that I feed off of.
Yeah, it's a classic vibe. It's also not my energy either. What's your favorite, since you are a theater, you have a theater background, what's your favorite like show? What's your favorite, you know?
So here's the thing. I actually don't really like theater. Like, it's fine. I think it's like I do. Every time I go to the theater, I'm always like, this is amazing. I think I'm very easily impressed. If you have the app Letterboxd, you like rate movies and stuff.
Oh,
and
I have it.
I stopped rating.
Dave's a big active Letterboxer.
Yeah, I love Letterboxd. Oh my God, follow me. I'm Addie O'Minder. I forget what I am.
I'll figure it out.
I stopped giving star ratings because I just kind of like kept giving 5 stars because I was like, but they made a movie. That was such hard work.
I love the effort. I was so excited to see that this came to life.
Like, who am I to give a 3-star rating? I haven't made a movie. Who the fuck am I? You know, it's just a joyous thing.
That is so sweet.
That's so much kinder than I am about the movie.
That's much kinder than Dave. Because
I've been on sets. I've been on sets. Mm-hmm. So, like, I see how hard, like, you know, grips have to wake up at 5 a.m., maybe earlier. And it's like, why would you give that grip 3 stars? Like that grip, like, she did such a good job on that movie, you know, like art department pulled through, like their budget, they had no budget and they made so many banners. Like,
you are so special.
I have to know now, because now that I've heard a little bit about, because you and I have not met, but
no, I'm hearing,
I've just, hello, so nice to meet you on my show. You are so intentional and deliberate with the way you put together your show, which I have a similar background and have hosted and put together shows, and I really appreciate the intentionality and the, you know, making the order and saying like, okay, we'll come out between each act and like do this thing, or maybe like the theme of the show is this, and so between each act we come on and update the audience about this, whatever. Like, very, very charmed by that vibe, and I also like it. And also, I hear about the amount of credit you give every movie because of the effort that went into it. Are you as generous with praise and time with the people that you date? Because
getting right to the podcast theme.
Honestly, when Dave was asking this, I was like thinking of the same question, but in a different way of being like, so you're easily impressed. Are you easily impressed by people you date?
I guess that's two ways to look at the same thing. You're easily impressed. And I'm like, you give people a lot of credit. That's nice.
I mean, actually, like, yeah. I mean, oh, wait. Well, I do want to get back to the theater question really quick. I do like theater. I just think that sometimes I've in the past year, honestly, because I'm not going to say that I was better at this over a year ago. Really, only in the past year, I think I have become so much better at not people pleasing and just being myself and being really okay with people not liking me. And generally, when I have that attitude, people like me, so it's fine. Like, but I think I was dating someone in college, and he was a playwright, and we went to go see a Annie Baker play. And it was John, and if you know anything about Annie Baker plays, she really loves when like there's so much silence and there's a lot of realism. And I am proud to say,
if you will.
Yes, I am proud to say that I did not like that play. But everyone that I went there with, like, we exited the theater and they were like, oh my God. And I thought we were all like, oh my God, that was
bad,
crazy or bad. And they were like, I have to think about that for hours and days because that was so like transformative. And I felt so stupid. Like, did they see something I didn't see? And so I think there was I started to kind of have like not really trusting my gut on also what I liked, but also I felt that way. Like, I did Paul Green School of Rock growing up too. So I like would play music and like, that's like, I like played guitar and then we would like do concerts and shows, basically just like covers and stuff. And people there had very strong opinions about music. And if I, and then I also did karate and people there had very strong opinions on music. And it was this thing of like, I get really, it's very vulnerable for me to share a playlist or like share music with people because it feels like someone could be like, oh, I don't like that music. And then I'm wrong. So, but I do think that if I take away the fear of being wrong, I think like actually opening myself up to so many people to really be like, like I didn't like that play, but everyone that I was with liked that play. So let me like think a little bit harder about that play and maybe see what I might've missed. And even though that is a little bit of like self-doubt and like self-doubting my gut, I do think I have an appreciation. Like, for example, we did metal music for Paul Green School of Rock. So I was like 13 years old and I had to play a metal show. And I was like, this was a mistake. I should not have signed up for this. Metal music is aggressive and it sucks, but I had to learn the songs. And it was like so hard for me to listen to the music. And then after a couple of weeks, I was like, wait a second, this is actually beautiful. I was like, this is actually really in like really intricate, and like Master of Puppets is a gorgeous masterpiece by Metallica. And like, I fucking get it. And like, and now like, as like a filmmaker or whatever, like I like, you know, there's sometimes where like this scene needs a Metallica song, and I wouldn't have, and if I had like stayed in this like bubble of only liking what I liked and never being pushed to like try other things. That being said, with dating, I definitely have dated people who have not been very nice to me, I've dated nice people. Oh my God, there I am again. But like, I've definitely stayed in things because a thing that maybe I like the most about myself, and I also get it from my mom, is like being able to see the best in people. And I 100% stand by that. And like, I think it's also why I love talking to strangers, because even if a stranger seems like crazy, there's like, I can find one thing I really like about them and we'll just talk about that thing and we'll have a great interaction and I'll be happy. But I think I have like settled maybe in relationships. And honestly, and this is where I'll say, like, so I've been going to Al-Anon for a year, and actually like August is my 1 year mark, which is really fun.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So thank you so much. Tell everyone what Al-Anon is.
Yeah. Tell everyone what Al-Anon is, just so, Al-Anon, because I know it gets so confused with other things. Yeah.
Well, it especially gets confused with Alcoholics Anonymous, because literally Al-Anon sounds like a shortened way of saying Alcoholics Anonymous.
But, it really does.
It really does. I have no idea why we don't have like a better name for it, but I don't care. Al-Anon is for people, like if you have feel like you've been affected by someone else's drinking or sobriety, then Al-Anon is for you. And if it works for you, it works for you. You don't have to be like, well, I was never beaten or my parents weren't or whatever. It's like, if the medicine works, you take it. People can also be in AA, be an alcoholic, and also go to Al-Anon. Double winners. And it's awesome. But Al-Anon has really, like, what I love so, my first like instinct when I came into the rooms of Al-Anon, like what struck me was like, Al-Anon meetings are like rooms full of people who kind of have like every right to point to someone else and be like, they're the reason why I'm fucked up. Like, yeah, I have trust issues, but it's because of my mom, or it's because of this guy I dated. Like, they kind of have like valid-ish reasons to be like, I have trust issues, or I need this validation from my partner because I never got it from my parents. When actually it's like, okay, but hold on, pause. Your life is chaotic and unmanageable. sure, because of other people, but like, what are you going to do about this life that you have? Yeah. And that was this really big turning point where I realized that like, oh, I like let other people affect me so deeply. And I have stuck in relationships or friendships because I've wanted to help fix people, or I've seen the best part of them. So I'll ignore the parts that are really hurtful or harmful. And the second biggest lesson is that I'm not doing them any favors by trying to fix them. I'm actually being a dick to them too. Yeah. And like, there have been like friendships or relationships where I think at the time, if you had asked me like, who's in the wrong here with this argument, I would have been like, this person, clearly. And I might've been like, but it's okay, we're working it out. But it also might've been like, well, Addie, actually you're like sending them a lot of therapist recommendations, and you're telling them a lot of books to read, and you're kind of like really trying to like map out what their work week should look like. And you're trying to like really, meddle in their life in a way that maybe you think you know best, but you don't. And what sucks about that is that it's, you have to rewire the whole way that you think. And so, you know, with dating, you know, I'm dating now, and, or, you know, as much as one does. And this is the first time that I've really been dating while having a sponsor and like working the steps. And it's crazy. It's so much easier though. Oh my God. It's so much, like, there are some things that are so much easier, and it's so nice. And also, what is the nicest
Tell us what's easier. I think like it's so helpful, because it's like, I feel like a lot of people just do not know about this program. It's one of the, like, the under the radar programs. Like, we know about, you know, we know about AA, we know about NA, but like, what has made your life better?
Amazing. And I also will, a huge disclaimer is like, I'm not a pro. I literally just started working step one recently. Like, so I can only speak of like my personal experience with it and how it's helped me. But it's made dating easier, because I have so much of like a, like, listen, if it's going to be, it's going to be. And like, if this person doesn't like me, that's cool. I'll find someone who does. And like, I started dating someone new, and it was so nice to like have a sponsor to talk to. I love my friends. My friends are amazing. I will die. I will kill for my friends. Sometimes my friends have bad relationship advice, and it's not anybody's fault, or not even bad, but like, but maybe relationship advice that might do more harm than good. And it's not their fault. They're not professionals. They don't work a program. Like, they're just doing their best. But now, instead of asking my friends and maybe trying, one, there's this thing of like expectations are like predetermined resentments of like, if I expect my friend to give me incredible relationship advice and then they don't, because they're not a relationship advice expert, and then I'm like now resenting them for not having the right answer, when it's like, just call your sponsor or like call a fellow in meetings, and they can like give you sane advice that is like in the same program or like club. It's like a fun club. I had like, we say qualifier is like a person who brings you into the room. It can be literally anybody. And like, I've also realized that I had many qualifiers, but the only qualifier that I was really aware of at the time, I would talk to everybody about this person, like ad nauseum. And I could like see myself talking about this person, and I could like see outside of myself, and I wouldn't be able to shut up. And then I got into Al-Anon rooms and like got what I needed. And I also realized that it was way more about me and not actually about this person as much as I thought it was. And there are so many friends who are like new friends in LA who don't even know who this qualifier is, because it hasn't been important to talk to them about this person. And like, that's such a huge weight off my shoulder. It's incredible. And with dating, I was able to like tell my sponsor, like, I like this person. Like, maybe this is a red flag, this is a green flag. Like, you know, like, what do you think? And even the sponsor being like, okay, well, like, take a day to think about it. How about you pause? We also just broke up. Like, we started dating in quarantine, and then we broke up. And like, that has been so fucking hard. And I have absolutely no idea how I would have handled a breakup in quarantine without program. I've had friends before be like, I've had friends before like rename his name dead to me in the phone. So when he calls you, you know he's fucking dead to you, bitch.
And rename, I was like, rename him Zombie Man. So when Zombie he contacts man. You, it's so funny when people do that. I do think that's such a funny vibe.
And it is fun. I mean, and I've done it before, and it has been fun. But then I also am obsessing about, well, now I want to text dead to me. And now I'm like waiting for my phone to get a call from dead to me. And it's like, what Stevie has always said is like, yeah, you can. yeah, just like, but like, why? Like, what do you want to, like, what do you want to say? And I was like, well, I guess I want to say hi and kind of, I guess I want to like confuse him into coming back to me. Like, I guess my motive is that I want to pretend like I actually do want to be friends just so I can, just so I can remind him that actually I'm amazing and that he should want to date me. And then Stevie will be like, okay, so maybe our motive isn't the best one. So maybe let's just like pause on it and like wait 12 hours, you know, and let's just like see how that is. And honestly, I will say that like, I sent him a postcard 2 days ago, and it was this thing of, I sent a postcard and it was so nice because it literally is out of my hands. It could get lost in the mail. I don't know. I don't know when he's going to get it. The postcard also was just like, I hope you have a happy birthday. His birthday's coming up. And I was like, I hope you're doing better. You know, we broke up because of like, he was going through some hard stuff, and it's his decision. And also for me to be able to not like fight to hold on to him, but to be like, yeah, do your thing. I've been in that place too. I've been in that place, and I don't, you know, I've been in a place where I can't be in a relationship and it sucks. And I hope you feel better. And I'm sad and I will be sad and I'll miss you. But, and we can't be friends, because he was like, can we be friends? And I was like, I don't actually. And that was a boundary that I made. That's and I even great. Told Stevie, I was like, maybe we can be friends. And Stevie was like, do you want to be friends with him? And I was like, no, I have enough friends.
Yeah, I think it's such a hard thing, because it's like, I used to want to be the person, I used to want people to see me as the person who was friends with my exes. It was important for me. I think the perception, it was important for me to, it used to be like this, it's not anymore, but it was important for me to be seen as like a person who was friends with my exes, like that I still get along with them, that I'm agreeable, all these things, right? Like, it was
you're
like,
chill girl, you're a cool girl.
I'm so cool that I'm friends with all my exes. But today I'm like, there are exes where I'm like, hey, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And either way is fine. Or like, hey, I like you and I don't actually want to be friends because I actually want to date you. And like, it's nice to be able to differentiate. And sometimes, and like, there's enough flexibility. Like, I'm like you, I give people the benefit of the doubt. Like, there's enough flexibility to know that like in time, like there are people I don't want to be friends with that it might change with, or there are people that I am friends with today that I won't be friends with tomorrow. But it's like, day by day, check in with yourself.
I have a friend in the program, and he I don't know if this is like a tenet of it, but I he said something to me that I guess someone said to him when I was like doing the thing that you do to your friends before you have a program you can work. But I was like losing my mind about something. This was like over a year ago, and I was
you are allowed to lose your mind to your friends. Like, that's what friends are for. Like, I don't want anyone listening to this podcast be like, I can't tell my friends anything, I have to go and find a community of people. It's like, you can, it's like, oh, you no, can go to your friends 100%.
Of course, but you know, you're gonna get the benefit of that friend's experience, and it's as good as that friend's experience can possibly be. And you know, I trust my friends and they're super smart, but this one in particular happened to be in this program, and he said something like, because I was saying a similar thing to, you know, wanting to text someone right away, but it was like, it was more along the lines of being like super distraught about something that was not going to get any better, like right in the moment. And he said, you know, for like started off and was like, you know, well, what do you know now? And like, what can happen now? And what can change now? And I laid it out for me. He said, well, more information will be revealed later.
Yeah.
It kind of blew my mind a little bit, because it is there was nothing in the moment that I could do. Like, sending a message would do nothing. And it was like, oh my God, like I'm in hell. I'm in my own personal hell. This is awful. And he was like, well, like there's like a definite end date to like what you're talking about. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, that's not for another like 8 or 9 days. And he's like, well, you know, like more will be like, you know, it's either like living it now or just spin your wheels on how much worse it could get. And I was like, oh fuck, you're good. And this program is good.
Yeah. It's such a good thing too. Like, if you really do believe that you'll get more information eventually, like I live my life like that today, where it's like, when I first start dating someone, I have very little information about them. Right.
Yeah.
And I know day by day, I'll get more information about them and I don't have to make any decisions before I have enough information. It's like a court case. You don't present like very limited information and they're like guilty or innocent. And they're just like, I don't know. I don't have enough information.
Yeah.
You know,
and the thing, and like for you to totally pause and be able to do that is just so, there's so many little Al-Anon sayings. I love them so much, but like, if it feels urgent, it's not important is like one that I've been using a lot recently of like, especially during this time where like kind of not, you know, urgency is very interesting, you know, in the time that we find ourselves in. Like, if something feels like it has to be done right now, right now, right now, then it's like, wait a second, pause. Do I need to text this person? Like, what, like, is someone going to die if this happens? Like, probably not. So like, let's take a breather and like check how we're feeling about it. It's just really knowing that like, there are things that are not in your control and there are things that are in your control. And they very often are confusing and get mixed up. That's the Serenity Prayer, which is a banger. The Serenity Prayer is such a banger. And I also think for anyone listening who's like, prayer, God, what? Like I had that reaction. I still have that reaction a lot of the times with like anything like religion related, just because of how I was raised and like my feelings towards the church and organized religion and everyone having, and also being like, oh, it's a really personal thing to people. I don't want to judge. Like, but really like the Serenity Prayer, like the way that I break down the Serenity Prayer as like a freaking banger is this way, is like, okay, like truly, like, let's take this situation of me sending this postcard to this guy of being like, okay, God, AKA somebody else. Like, I'm not talking to myself, like a higher power, universe, the whatever.
Stars, nature, stars, like anything you want. It can be anything.
Mother time, want. Just like the soil, like anything that's like not you and you recognize that like you're not the baddest, biggest bitch. Like, like because there is like a bigger, badder bitch above you that like
Lizzo.
And like, honestly, like I just discovered that like, I like to say Barbara, like Barb, like that's mine is like, I've named my higher power Barb, Barbara. Mm-hmm. It makes me laugh because I think Barbara is a funny name. And then it kind of helps me get over the fact that I'm like kind of praying, which makes me feel a little silly. So I go, Barb. Okay, Barb, listen up, Barb. Barbara, I got some things to tell you. And it makes me laugh. And I love it. And I love talking to Barb.
That's so great.
And so I'll be like, Barb, you know, God, like, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. AKA, I cannot change that this guy doesn't want to date me anymore. AKA, I cannot change that how he feels. I cannot change what people tell him for advice. I cannot change how quickly he gets a therapist or doesn't get a therapist. I cannot change whether he reads a text message or sends or responds to a phone call. I cannot change how he feels at all. I can't change it. So grant me the serenity to accept the fact that I can't change any of that shit that I want to change so badly. Okay. Secondly, Barb, grant me the courage to change the things I can, AKA I need courage because it's scary and you need to be brave to change things because change is fucking terrifying. So give me the courage to change the things I can, AKA I give me the courage to not text him, to reach out to a fellow, just to call a sponsor, to give me the courage to really think about what I want to say and write it in a postcard and send it, and give me the courage to also know that like change my mindset and change and like try to like choose to be happy in these things. Give me the fucking courage to clean my kitchen, which has fruit flies. And I need courage to do that because my depression will make me not want to clean. And then finally, Barb, like fucking please grant me the wisdom to know the difference because AKA shit be confusing. Sometimes you think you can change something that you actually can't because they can look the same. Mm-hmm. And like when I break it down for any problem I have, it just helps me clear my head.
I love so that. Much. I really like what you just did too, where you took, you know, you broke it down and you listed the things that you actually have control over, the things you do not have control over. And so much in relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, parental mm-hmm. relationships, there's a lot we can't control. We can't control how the other people show up. We can't control if someone wants to be with us. We can't control how someone even receives the most beautifully mwah, 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 written text. Yeah. You know, we cannot control that stuff. You know, at the end of the day, it's sort of like this amazing thing where it's like, all I can do is like do what's in my control to the best of my ability on that very day, in that very moment. And besides that, I can't control how it's received or what happens next.
In January, this other person that I was seeing, they kind of ended, they ended things and they felt really guilty about it. And they were really sad. And I was like, dude, I'm not that special. Like, this isn't that special. Like, I wasn't, like, we hadn't really even, we were barely dating. We had been like long distance. Like, we weren't even really in the same city for a long time. And then he had responded, like, no, you are special. This is special. And I was like, okay, well, don't say that, because clearly it's like, that's like, it's not, but I wanted to be like, we're making this such like a big deal when it's like, it's fine. This is fine. Like, and also like, you're making this decision and that's cool. Like, I'm okay with it. I also wouldn't have been able to have that reaction without program. You know, it's just like making boundaries. And honestly, what it is like, you know how people join like Facebook groups for like working out accountability?
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like a lot of people, they understand self-improvement. They understand self-help books. We've all gone into Barnes and Noble, whatever, to go pick up like a book to help ourselves. And the thing that I think is missing is that community and that, like, you know, the community, the accountability. Literally, like, I picked up a commitment at a meeting, which means that, like, I have to show up because I, like, am the timer. I, like, time how long people's shares are. And I did that so that I would make sure that I went to meetings and that I made sure that I was listening to people because I had to time them. And it's accountability. And I've, like, grown so much in that meeting specifically.
Hey, guys, Stevie here. Just wanted to say, hey, why don't you contact us? You can email us at iburneverythingpod@gmail.com, or you can even call our hotline and leave a message, 213-458-5236. It's 213-458-5236, and we may even talk about your message or email on a future episode. So get to it.
So these are like so many examples of like how my like perspective on dating has just like fundamentally changed. I even like, I date men and women, and that will give me a lot of anxiety because I have dated significantly more men than women. I have never been in a actual girlfriend relationship with a woman. And that will give me so much like insecurity or anxiety. And it'll also make me be like, I gotta go fuck a ton of women to like get my batting average up. And like, what a horrible way to try to have an intimate relationship with people.
I gotta like get my numbers up.
Yeah, I gotta get my numbers up. Like, what an insane. And so to kind of like sit with that feeling of like, oh, like, why am I feeling this anxiety? And also, does it matter? Who is this for?
Why?
Fuck it.
Can you tell us a little bit more about like the anxiety of dating? Why does that matter? Like, why does it create anxiety that you have?
Yeah.
Like relationship with a woman, but you have dated them.
I think it's like a thing of people love to put you in boxes. So when you don't fit a box, people get uncomfortable. I think there's a lot of that. I've had some really unfortunately uncomfortable and sad experiences with some lesbians who don't like the fact that I still like men and don't really. There's a thing with bisexuality. That's very, or like queer, like just kind of like general sexual fluidity, queerness is like people being like, it's a phase, or like you can cop out or you can pass and like, you're not really gay. And it's like, honestly, like actually who I want to have sex with and like who I want to date is a very private thing. And that's like, and you wouldn't be like making me disclose whether I have a foot fetish or not, but you're kind of making me disclose like what type of person turns me on. And like, that's my own private thing. But the insecurity comes from like, oh, like, am I allowed to be in a gay bar and say that I'm gay? If I have never had like a girlfriend, if I marry a man, does that like obliterate my feelings for like, for women? Like, and I know these answers are no, like when I look at it to myself. But I honestly, like, I have a lot of really wonderful bisexual and sexually fluid friends, and we love each other so much because it's just so nice to feel so accepted. Because my friend sent me a PDF that's like questions to find out if you're a lesbian, And it's fun because it's also, there's a lot of like, you know, heteronormativity and heterosexuality is, can be imposed on people. And some of the questions are like, do you date men because you feel like you should date men? Or like, do you find that you are not actually attracted to men? Can you see yourself in a relationship with women? And like a lot of the, all the questions that were like, do you, can you see yourself romantically involved with a woman? Do you, did you have a crush on really intense girl crushes? Did you always have like a girlfriend that felt like a really intense friendship that might've been more? Like the answers to those questions were all yes. But then the questions that were like, do you not find men attractive or do you feel like you have to have sex with them? I was like, no, I find men very attractive. I love penis. Like that is also 100% true. And yeah. it's a thing of like, but that's not, but again, it's like, it's not someone's, you know, business. And it, and I think also like Al-Anon has helped me not feel that insecure and also kind of be like, look, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And I'm just open for it. And at least I don't have internalized homophobia against myself. And that totally could have happened. I already had internalized misogyny. Like if anything, I'm in a chilling spot. If I meet a girl that I really like and I want to date, I will. And it's, I think I have lower standards for myself for dating guys sometimes. Like I think I say yes more easily to guys. And I also think I say no more easily to guys. And I think I actually really don't want to hurt women's feelings because I'm like, women are awesome. We got to stick together. I never want to hurt you, queen. And like, and I was like, I can always have more female friends. Yeah. So like, I don't want to fuck up a friendship if like, you know, if we start dating, but you could have been an awesome friend. Whereas, you know, I have enough guy friends. If I date a guy and then he's like, you want to be friends instead of dating? I'm like, no, thank you.
Nah, like, I'm good.
Like, also, I'm good. I have my guy friends.
Something you said resonated with me, which is that, you said that there's been some gay women who've made you feel not great about, or tried to make you feel not great or said not great things about you also dating men. And it's, this is not a mind blower. You obviously, everyone knows this, but that says way more about them than it says about you, which is like such an interesting thing where it's like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, or I'm not sorry you feel that way. Fuck you. But like, holy shit.
But it's also like society of like, I also like totally understand that feeling though, especially if you're someone who is like, who is a gay woman, is a lesbian and has, you know, faced so much adversity and has had a shitty experience with people fucking with you because you are gay. And it has been hard for you. And like, I grew up in a super, like I told my parents when I was super young, it was like, I was hanging out with my friends, Sophia and Sarah, and we wanted to play house and Sophia wanted to be the cat. And we're like, fine, you're the cat. And then Sarah and I got in a fight about who wanted to play mom. And then my parents heard me say from the other room, hey, let's just be gay. And then we were just like two gay moms with a cat. And like, that's how we played house. So it's like, I was also raised in a way where like, I haven't faced a lot of adversity, yeah. But also like, the Stonewall riots didn't happen because we wanted it to always be hard to be gay. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, but it also gets to the part of like, everyone's going to feel how they're going to feel. And like, I can't change that woman's reaction to me liking men and women. I can't, mm-hmm. I can't change that. I can't affect that. If she wants to be friends, if she doesn't want to be friends, that's up to her. It's not up to me. I guess maybe we shouldn't be friends if I like elicit this type of reaction to her, but also that's kind of like her decision to see whether she wants to hang out or not. Like it's, yeah. And I don't have to be offended by that or try to change myself or whatever. Cause I also totally understand her. I totally understand why she might be in pain. And I know that it's not personal. You know, I've had people say things to me that felt really hurtful and personal. And I know now that it wasn't personal. It wasn't hurtful. People have said that I make them feel bad about themselves because I am very well adjusted. Or be like they give me compliments of being like, you're so great around people like you, like they give me compliments. Mm. And they say, and for all of these great reasons, you make me feel bad about myself, so we can't be friends. And it has, huh. And in high school was the first time someone told me that, and it obliterated me, and I didn't know what to do. And I was like, I'm sorry. And she's like, well, you can't do anything about it. Like, don't change. Like, you're great. I just like can't be your friend because you make me feel shitty. Oh yeah.
Wait. So the vibe is this: I can't be your friend because my self-esteem is contingent on you being worse than me.
Yeah, which is really sad.
That sucks. It's sucky for both. Well, that's the truth. It's like, I can't be your friend because you're a reminder of how great I'm not and my self-esteem is too low. And then it's just sad all around because
it also kind of like makes me feel really shamed for,
yeah, can you be worse at something,
for being good at something, and then like, and then there's that shame of like, shame of being good at something. It's already, it's so hard to say that I think I'm pretty, I think I'm smart. Like, it's really hard to give yourself compliments. Yeah. Like, and then to hear someone give you compliments and be like, hey, that's what's wrong with you, is like, I am getting so many mixed signals about how to live my life.
Yeah.
Well, it's also confusing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, Dave, you.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, it's an interesting, whatever, but liking yourself and having, you know, the burden of being well-adjusted. I mean, it's kind of, antithetical to like sort of what you not what you see always in comedy, and I think it maybe is changing a little bit, but I think that sort of maybe just, if not strictly online comedy, but I think just like modern comedy in general is maybe moving away from it. But I think for a while it has been like, I'm so messed up, like, of course I'm like depressed. Yeah. And of course I do comedy. I had a shitty dad or whatever. Like, I feel like I have seen and still see stuff like that so much. And it's an interesting, you know, I mean, you know, this has been like an amazing conversation that went to a lot of places, but it started with like a high energy, you know, improv exercise, which I think is like speaks to the benefit of your experience and the benefit of like, the kind of mindset where somebody starts off liking themselves and goes into comedy. I feel like more often than not, you hear like, yeah, well, I didn't get the attention I needed, or like, you know, mommy wasn't around, so that's why I'm on this stage or whatever. And it's kind of funny to, I mean, not funny. It's kind of wonderful to see somebody pursuing this because they just want to, and they like it and they feel good.
Well, it's like, comedy is so joyful. Like, it, I love to laugh and make people laugh. And also it's like, yeah, when I was 13, I was in a sexually abusive relationship that was physically abusive, and we had to get the police involved. I had two restraining orders by the time I was 14. Like, I got I've tried to do jokes about it. People really don't want to laugh at 13-year-olds. The joke that I try to do is I try to say, I was like, I've been dating for, I'm like, you can't, people listening to the podcast, you can't see how big I'm smiling because I'm already laughing at it because I think it's very funny. But I'll be like, I've been dating for so long. Like, the first time I had sex, I was 13 years old, which, you know, is very, you know, it's, you know, and that was really hard. And I get like a little serious, that was really hard. You know, because all of my classmates were fucking virgins, and then I give high fives. I just give as many high fives as I can to the people in the front, and I go, oh yeah, freaking 13-year-old virgins, how dare they? Like,
I don't know why that doesn't work. That's very funny.
Also, yeah, it depends on rooms. It depends on the room. It depends on if it's my opening joke or not. You know, it depends.
I mean, I could see how that wouldn't work if a guy was doing it, but I'm like, I would love to hear a woman tell that joke.
Yeah, I do some air humping. I like, depending on like how I'm feeling or how much coffee I have, I'll do the worm on the floor and like hump the ground, just like, oh yeah. But that's still like just me making myself laugh, you know? Like, that's just like me making myself, you know, laugh and feel good. And also, there are people who like, they, you know, mommy wasn't nice to them, and they now do incredible comedy, and like, fuck yeah, dude, like, you do it. And but I do think there was a moment where I was like, wait, I like myself and my parents are awesome, am I allowed to do comedy? And Seth Meyers had a great family, and I think he got razzed by a comedian of being like, you're not allowed to do comedy because you had good parents. But like, my parents did characters. Like, my dad had this character called Baby Daddy that he made while we were driving, and he would be like, I don't know my colors, and then he'd be like, red means go, and he would like hit the gas and then like brake really fast. Terrifying. He would do swerving to the left, to the right. He would do a character called Robbie Bobby, and he would like make his like voice sound like this. My mom always like, like always talks like that. Her sisters, they go, hey, miss, like we do voices. And I thought everyone's parents were like this, you know? I thought like, I, and so it just made me also want to do characters and laugh. And
yeah.
and do all this stuff. And I, you know, it's just so fun to have a good time, and there isn't anything wrong with that.
No, there isn't. There's nothing wrong with any of it. And also it's so wonderful how much it's just made you. It's really wonderful. Addie, it's time for the five questions.
Wait, I have one thing I want to say that I think will tie up everything. I have one incredible thing to say that will completely tie together.
Oh my God.
I think there was this moment before I moved to LA last year where I opened for Nick Thune. I love him. Shout out Nick Thune. I love you, Daddy. I love him, Big Brother. Nick Thune. I opened for him 5 nights at Caroline's. And then I had my JFL characters callback. Like, and if you're a comedy person, you know, whoa, those are two big comedy opportunities. And I hated everything I did. I hated the stand-up I did. I hated the characters I did. And I think it was because I was doing what I thought I should be doing. I was doing stand-up that was more self-deprecating, so it wasn't honest or authentic. I was doing characters that didn't really make me laugh, but I thought on paper they were proper sketch characters.
Okay.
And then I moved to LA, and I was like, or I came to visit, and then I was like, oh, I want to live here. And Nick Kocher was like, if you're going to move here, do you want to co-host a comedy show with my friend Demi? And I was like, oh yeah. And then we met, and then I knew that I was going to have this cool monthly show. And I was like, I'm not going to let myself be on stage and not have fun. I'm too young. I'm in too cool of a city. I have too cool of friends to just not be having fun. And if I'm not having fun, like there's a Susan Messing quote, who she's an amazing improviser. She's like, if you're not having fun, you're the asshole. And it is kind of serenity prayer thing of being like, what can you change? It's like, you can change if you're having fun or not. Like, you can always try to find fun. I know it sounds like such a t-shirt slogan or a wall printout, but like, you can be in control of how you're having fun. And I think like that has helped me also because that's Al-Anon with serenity prayer, and also in relationships. Like, I've realized I've dated a lot of people in the past like year or two, not like really seriously, but like we've never been like officially in a relationship, but dated a lot of people. And I've been like, oh man, why am I not having fun? I'm like, I'm actually acting a lot more out of fear in this relationship. I'm scared that I didn't text them back fast enough. I don't really laugh a lot with this person. We cry when we have sex because it's so passionate and intense, but we don't actually like laugh. That's not what I want. And so it's this thing of like, I really only want to be doing what is fun. And if I'm not having fun, like that's where I need to investigate. I'm in the kind of a depressed place where like movies, music, TV shows, they don't feel fun to me. Mm. And I'm even on antidepressants, and it's like, I'm just having a hard time finding any joy in the things that used to bring me joy. And I think it's because we're in this horrific time and I'm in a breakup, and that's okay. And so it's like, I'm now reaching and finding other things that bring me joy, and that's what I have to investigate and why. And like, honestly, like I'm finding like I've had so much fun talking to you guys in this podcast. So it's like, should I be doing more podcasts? Should I like be just like getting like some like more Zoom stuff going of like where I'm just talking to people? Like, so
yeah, you should be on all the podcasts. You're such an easy guest to have on, and you love like. You love connecting with people. Yeah, you should definitely be on all the podcasts, especially if it brings you joy. It brings me joy too. I love doing podcasts.
You should probably have your own.
Yeah, I would. I always just look up microphones, and then I get really confused, and then I go, I'll think about it later. And then
I can send you what my entire kit in one link. You can buy an entire kit.
I love it. That sounds great.
What? Okay, wait. Remind me. When you walk through the doors every morning, your parents said,
ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the star of our morning, depending on what time it is, morning or evening, Adeline Judson Wyrick.
Man, I would love for you to have a podcast like where every person you have on the show is the star.
That's really fun. It's just called the star of our evening.
Or if the whole title was "Ladies and Gentlemen, Put Your Hands Together for the Star of Our Evening,"
and then that's the whole title of the podcast. It's actually really fun.
That's so fun.
That is really nice because I keep trying to think of ideas for podcasts that I'm like, oh, it's a podcast about change, or it's a and I'm like, I just really like to have fun and fuck around, and
it should just be what you are, where you like to let people shine and you like to shine. So it would be just you talking to people who you think are interesting.
Oh, that's a great podcast idea. Wow. Everyone who's listening, stay tuned for Ladies and Gentlemen, Put Your Hands Together for the Star of Our Evening.
Oh my gosh, this title, the length of this gives me so much joy. Addie, are you now ready? And thank you for your last part, but are you now ready for the five questions?
Yes, I am. I'm ready.
These are like rapid fire, but you don't have to go super fast. Just know that they're not like 15 minute answers. They're just like you're the first thing on the top of your head. So we get like a, you know.
Okay. I am going to go rapid fire for myself as a fun exercise. And also because I will talk a lot for every answer. Okay. So I'm ready.
Like are you ready? Number one, what was your most awkward first date?
Most awkward first. do I go on first dates? I feel like, oh God, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm really good at dating. I go on awesome dates.
Your most awkward date or your best first date?
Okay. I have one. I went on a date with a girl from Tinder, and I thought I had. I thought I had tickets for a Cameron Esposito show at Union Hall in Brooklyn. Please donate to save their stage. Yeah. So it was a very gay date. And I showed up to Union Hall and I had gotten the dates mixed up. The show had already happened a couple days prior. So me and this girl had traveled. I lived in Hell's Kitchen. She lived in Prospect Park. The venue was way out of our way. We both had to travel an hour and she wasn't drinking. Neither was I. So we just sat eating no food, drinking no water, talking for 3 hours because I can talk to anybody and I didn't want, I was immediately not interested in her. I knew I wasn't interested at all the second she started speaking. So it was really just out of politeness. We didn't even hug goodbye on the subway. I wasted like 5 hours of my day. It was a huge learning opportunity. That was very awkward. I hope she is having a nice life.
Oh, that's probably one of my favorite awkward dates. Number two, who is your current celebrity crush?
Oh, I don't have celebrity crushes. And I'll tell you why. It's because the biggest turnoff for me is if someone doesn't like me. And like if you don't like me, then I don't like you. And like celebrities don't know who I am. So why are they interested in me? And it's a very like, I'm from Philly. So it's very like, if you don't give a fuck about me, why should I give a fuck about you? So I don't have celebrity crushes, but I do have like very intense crushes of friends of friends who feel like celebrities.
Okay. Mm. Celebrity friends.
You have a crush on your Instagram Explore page.
Or like a friend that I met once at a party.
Yeah.
Who's like a friend of a friend. So they don't really post a lot on Instagram. So I actually don't really know what their life is going on. And I don't know how I could talk to them because it'd be weird to DM them. But I'm just like hoping that we're in the same place again so they can, you know, get. Honestly, I have a fantasy always of getting trapped in an elevator or a closet with someone that I have a crush on because I feel like if they talk to me for like at least an hour or two straight, they would realize that they love me. And so that's my fantasy.
I have no follow-up comments on that. That's beautiful. Number three, what's your favorite snack?
Favorite snack? Oh, we didn't even talk about this. I have bulimia. I have an eating disorder. So like food can be like super difficult sometimes because it's like favorite snack. I love peanut butter jelly sandwich, but also I've binged on peanut butter jelly sandwiches. I love celery, but is that a crazy answer? Probably. Blueberries? Fruit. I'll go with fruit.
Yum. I love fruit. Also, thank you for your honesty with that question.
Thanks for getting there. Fruit is pretty perfect. Also, celery would have been fine. Also, PB&J fine.
You guys like how I was like, I'm going to do rapid fire so I don't take a long time with these questions. And I just like say as much, but I just speak quicker.
The process is still fascinating.
Yeah, we like the process just as much as we like a one-word answer.
Incredible.
Okay, number four, what is your dream meal? Meaning you could literally combine whatever you want from anywhere you want. It could be from other restaurants. Like you don't even have to – there are no repercussions for eating this at all.
Oh, I mean, I guess it's a really good spaghetti and meatballs, Parmesan cheese.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Jones on Santa Monica Boulevard?
No.
Their spaghetti and meatballs is the best spaghetti and meatballs I've ever had.
It's so good.
You gotta go.
Fuck yeah.
You gotta go.
Maybe I'll go tomorrow.
Honestly. Yeah, you gotta treat yourself. You gotta go pick it up. It's delicious, isn't it, Dave? It's so good.
I love. Yeah, I used to work right by there, and I would go. It's a really inappropriate work lunch because it takes a long time. It's a sit down restaurant, but I would just go constantly.
Work lunch is.
It is.
Funny.
It's kind of like a sexy work lunch. It's really nice.
Yeah, they have. This has maybe been discussed on the show before, but they have bizarrely horny bathrooms. They have really weird, like candid, like, you know. Did you ever see Forgetting Sarah Marshall? Their bathrooms are decorated that way.
Oh, that's really surprisingly horny and a very inappropriate work lunch that I want to go to.
Okay, number five. If you could give your younger self one piece of advice about relationships or food or both, what would it be?
I think about this all the time of like what I could tell my younger self, and like part of like an easy cop out would be like, you know, when don't use that nutritionist when you're 15 because he's going to give you an eating disorder because he's going to make you eat no more than 1200 calories a day and call you fat even though you weigh the least amount you've ever weighed because you're a black belt in karate and you're 14 years old. Don't do that. Or like talk to your therapist sooner about eating food stuff, like just like learn about intuitive eating earlier. Don't listen to your family about food stuff, because recognize that everyone has their own relationship with food. Don't throw up. It doesn't help you lose weight. It only hurts your vocal cords and actually slows your metabolism. And most importantly, take everything one day at a time. Barbara's the bitch. Yeah, Serenity Prayer is a fucking banger. You're gonna be great. You're gonna be fine. Los Angeles is amazing, and you'll move there when you're ready for it.
Oh, I love that. Your younger self would have listened and been like,
What
is happening with
who's
me?
Barbara?
Yeah, who's Barbara? Look out for Barbara. Yeah. I also don't want to do any butterfly effect stuff, because like all the shittiest things that have happened to me are like the best things. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So it's like,
you can't interact with your past self. You'll fuck.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I would just like give a hug and be like, you'll be fine. You're good.
Oh my God. We've never talked about the space time continuum with the younger self advice thing. That's really,
I mean, it always fucks with me. I'm like, if she knew what I know now, I would be, what would I be like? I don't know. A scientist studying the space time continuum. Maybe.
Yeah. You'd go through school being like, how did my future self visit me? And your professors would be like, dude, it's never happened before.
We don't know.
Special.
You're the special one.
And that's why you have no friends, because none of them like that about you.
Yeah, you're the special one, and they fucking hate it. We like it. Where can people find you to see how special you are?
Oh, man. I mean, because of this weird time that we're in, I would say Instagram, but I kind of deleted Instagram off my phone for a while because social media low-key sucks right now. Everyone's mad and horny and lonely and scared, and I totally get it. So am I. So – but Instagram, my Instagram is fun. My Instagram is @addieyomind, @addieyomind. If you know a little song, let's get out of your mind. I want to get, I believe that's Lil Jon, maybe. I'm actually forgetting.
It sounds like Lil Jon the way you're singing it.
Let's go.
Let's go.
But yeah, and also like my website, and then like, you know, in person, but like, you know,
What's your website?
This is addiewyrich.com, but I don't even know if it's been updated. I mean, look out for my new podcast I get. This is literally the worst where you can find me outro I've ever done on a podcast, because part of me is like, don't worry about it. Just listen to this podcast. Go take a bath. Go swimming.
Take care
I'll be
of yourself.
Here. I'm not going anywhere.
I don't need anything from you. Yeah,
I'll see you in an Al-Anon meeting if you want. Like, totally, homie, do your thing. It's good. Like, I'm going to be here. Yeah, I'm on the internet. Who isn't? Facebook? Okay. See me on Facebook Marketplace selling my shit, you know, like.
All right. Well, if you want an IKEA dresser, check out Addie on Facebook Marketplace.
Thank you.
Addie, thank you so much for being on our show. This was fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much Addie. For having me, you guys. And we didn't even say hi to my dog. There
hi, Birdie.
She's been here the whole time. Oh, yeah. My Instagram has very good dog content of me interacting with my 8-year-old Chihuahua Dachshund dog, who I got in October, who just has a lot of really gentle, subversive personality, is how I would say.
Oh,
she's
very
the cutest.
Cute.
We love you,
very
Birdie.
Cute. Yeah. Okay. Well, I love you guys so much. If you're listening, I love you too. talk to you later. Bye, guys.
Bye. Stevie, you did it again. You introduced me to someone amazing.
Oh, I'm glad you think so. She's got energy that most people don't have. She is excited to be alive. It's really, she's refreshing. She's a breath of fresh air. And I imagine, like, I felt really excited to meet her when I did, because I was like, oh, I was so drawn to her. Like, she's just, she's a bright light.
Yeah. I don't know if I was able to make it come across as much as I wanted, but just being, I mean, I think I'm, you know, I can't imagine how much older I am than her, but her coming to LA from, you know, the East Coast to do comedy mirrors something I did. And the fact that, you know, when I came here, it was, you know, kind of populated with a bunch of doom and gloom white dudes with, you know, hoodies, zip up hoodies and shitty beards. And, you know, I was at one point one of them, although I was a shitty dude with a zip up hoodie and a giant fro with no beard. And
I like your fro.
Yeah, it was, you know, it wasn't bad. But the fact that her comedy is able to be sillier and the energy that she has is just, I don't know. It sucks because I was like, oh man, I got to go see her live. And then I realized, we probably won't be doing that for a very long time. But when
it happens, I'll invite you and we'll go see her live. She's wonderful. And
please do.
Yeah, she's wonderful. But speaking of wonderful, how are you? Are you wonderful?
I guess I would say wonderful adjacent. I am okay. I am adjusting to life with this new puppy in my apartment. She's sleeping right now, and she's totally passed out, which is amazing because I was texting you about this, but I was trying to tucker her out before we started. And it was like truly down to the wire. She was like biting the wall through her playpen, like truly biting the drywall, and then biting the bars. And I've got it weighed down with exercise weights inside of tote bags, and she's biting the bags. And you know, this is after I like had her out and was like playing tug of war with her with like a chew toy. It was, you know, and so she could pee, and she got in with like maybe 20 minutes to spare. I'm like, okay, she'll calm herself down. And it was like, we started recording this at, you know, 11 a.m. I think it was probably like 10:58 that she finally was just like,
isn't it stressful? Like, I have the same, obviously now, like, you understand what I go through. Like,
yeah,
I have the same problems with my dogs that if left alone for too long and then you want them to be quiet, like our last episode with Dana, like one of my dogs is just barking throughout the whole episode, but because we're home, because we don't, like, we can't go do stuff in the same way we used to, they're restless. And so it's like, I have to get lucky and I have to have like the timing right. And like all my dogs are in my room right now with the door shut, with the fan on. Like I've like, it's a lot, but it's also like when you can do it, you're like, oh my gosh, it must be like what parents feel like when their kid finally falls asleep.
Yeah. I mean, my dog's going to be kind of a bigger girl, maybe in like the 30-pound range. So I'm a little, I mean,
that's little. That's little girl.
30 pounds?
That's little.
Oh, well, I mean, your dogs are like 10 pounds.
Well, yeah, Holiday's 9 pounds, Rocket's 14 pounds, and Boyfriend's 5 pounds.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess in the pantheon of little, my dog's going to be a little bit bigger than yours.
Yeah.
But I'm just, it's, you know, we talked about the Serenity Prayer, and it really kind of like hit me in the middle of the episode because I've been so, and like, I think we're establishing some kind of routine, but like I took my dog to the vet and I needed an update on something she's going through. And I let her out to pee outside because the vet was kind of far away and she's 8 weeks old. And this vet tech, and she's not going to hear it, so whatever, this lady with like, in scrubs with like arm tattoos came out and was like, "Sir, how old is your dog?" And I was like, she's almost 8 weeks old. He's like, "Well, she can't touch the ground at all. She can't touch the ground in any way. She shouldn't even stand on grass until she's at least 16 weeks old, until she's had all of her shots, and then probably even 2 weeks after that." And I was like, oh, okay. Because I took her for a walk or two around my neighborhood in the last couple of days, and it was like amazing. It like tuckered her out. She did so well. And so now I'm not doing that at all. And I'm just like making do with her in my place. And that's something I can't change, no matter how many Reddit threads I read. And I've kind of cut back on looking at them because it's like, it's really, I mean, it's stressful, but also like, she's the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like
she's
so adorable, and she likes me, and you know, she knows fetch and she knows drop it. And you know, she has bitten up my hands, but like that's because she's a puppy. And
yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, I'd say the worst thing she's done is I was trying to like do stuff with her. And then my dad called and I hadn't talked to him in a really long time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't put her away yet. And she literally was like staring right at me while I had my phone up to my face. And she lunged at me and like, like knocked her teeth into my like bottom lip. It didn't break the skin, but she like face butted me. It was fucking crazy.
Dot, puppies are so psychotic. Like boyfriend will, I wear scrunchies and he'll jump on top of my head while I'm going to lay down to go to bed. And he'll pull the scrunchie out of my hair. Most of the time grabbing, thank God I don't have long hair anymore, but most of the time grabbing my whole ponytail and pulling it out. And I'm just like, you psychopath, what are you doing? What is this? You can't do that to me. And I finally was like, it was so cute at first, but then I was like, you know what? I got to tell this dog no, because if I don't tell him no, he's going to create this habit and like he's going to have bad boundaries for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
I told him no and he learned.
Oh, that's good. We were talking last week about people going like, oh, she's going to be big. People who like to say that. And the same people are people who are like, well, you got to do this. Well, you got to do that.
A lot of it's what people deal with having babies. A baby, a lot of fucking opinions. And here's the thing. No one's asking. I don't care what you like, unless mm-hmm. I'm straight up going, hey, what can I do about this problem? If I'm asking, answer away. But if someone's not asking, you don't need to involve yourself. You don't need to offer your opinion. You don't need to over explain anything. I don't care. It kills me. I'm just like, I didn't ask.
I didn't ask. I love it. Yeah, I love the unsolicited is always the funniest kind of advice where it's like, okay, I mean, we're doing this. You really have something to say to me?
Everyone has like a friend too that like does so much unsolicited like advice or unsolicited like, I mean, I guess I don't have those friends anymore, but my God, the whole energy of it is like, hey, dum-dum, I know better than you. And I also don't care if you want to hear this because I need to hear myself talk.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's funny when you're in a text with someone or a text conversation and it's like the giant blocks of text from them. And then your response is like, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Or like, yeah, okay, totally. Cool.
Oh my gosh. I know I have a friend who will text 17 messages and my response will be like, that sounds great. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope I'm never that person. Imagine being that person who's like 45 texts later, someone's like, cool, dude.
Sounds good. Or they thumbs up the last thing that you said.
Oh my God. Very hard thing to swallow.
It is extremely hard. I mean, I hope I'm not like sending any wrong messages to friends. Like I've just been so, I'm sitting on the floor of my room a lot playing with this dog or like making sure she's asleep. And then when she's asleep, I'm like sneaking down to like do stuff or like prepare food for her or something. And so I feel like not sending the wrong message that I don't care, but it's like the first time that I'm a very prompt text responder.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my thing. And I feel
I feel like
I'm dropping the ball a little bit these days. And like someone will, you know, like I had to write like an episode description for one of the episodes of our show. And I waited until like the absolute last second, but like not on purpose, just cause like
you're busy.
And I'm doing the parenting thing that people talk about when they have kids, where they're like, yeah, and I eat like the mac and cheese she doesn't want, like over the sink. And like, I'm like shoving like handfuls of spinach into my mouth and like eating like pineapple chunks literally over the sink, or like sneaking a little dish of them up to my room when she's sleeping, and like dry cereal.
I wish I didn't relate to this.
It's so fucked. But it's also, I mean, I think that the reward outweighs the like the risk.
Oh my God, you did
so much. The whisk. The reward outweighs the whisk.
No, you did outweighs.
The reward outweighs. That's so funny.
We all caught a little bit of like the world's cutest speech impediment.
Little baby. It's baby. It's baby daddy. It's Addie's dad's.
Yeah, we're all baby daddies.
I was going to say, speaking of baby daddies, but I was going to say, you know, I want to read, we got a new, it's a normal one. There's nothing crazy about it, but we got a really nice review on Apple Podcasts.
I would love to hear it.
It's just 5 stars. It says, love it. This podcast is awesome. I've been listening for a year and the conversations about food and love are always so entertaining and thoughtful. And to that person, I want to say, thank you so much. And also, why'd you wait a year? If there's somebody listening right now who has been a loyal listener and hasn't written a review, just write one right now. You can go right on Apple Podcasts and rate us 5 stars and leave a review. We really like seeing them. It makes us feel good. It'll comfort me in the night when I am unable to sleep because I'm afraid my puppy's going to wake up. But that's actually getting better. She slept through the night last night.
She'll do it more often, let me tell you.
I can't believe it. She slept until I woke her up at 7 because I had to give her some medicine, but like she probably would have slept longer.
Yeah. Boyfriend, this is going to sound, you're going to hate this, but boyfriend has slept through the night since the day I got him. I don't know why. Some dogs are just like better at it than others, but man, it makes a big difference. It makes me way less psychotic.
I'm excited to become less psychotic. I really am. I've rearranged my entire room. So like I pushed everything against every wall and I'm like scheming to get rid of furniture because she just like has so much energy and I took down my bookshelves and I lined the bottom of my bed with them because she kept going under my bed. And when she would come out of my bed, out from under my bed, she would bonk her head on the metal frame. And I was like, dude, you're going to get like bruises and scratches and stuff. So I did that and she can't get under there and it confuses the hell out of her. But it's crazy. Like this is the most significant life change I've had in like a really long time. And it's a huge shock to my system, but oh man, I guess I'll just end this long rant by saying that I talked to number one podcast fan, my dad, last night for the first time in a while. And love he imparted to me something that he never told me before, which is that when my mom and him like left the hospital with me, my mom stayed an extra day because she got to stay on her birthday because her birthdays are 2 days apart. So she, on August 21st, they left and they drove home. And my dad said that they stopped at Bradley's, which is a department store in the East Coast that doesn't exist anymore, but it's where I had my first job. And they went to go get something and he like forgot who went in and who stayed with me, but that they, you know, had a pretty like smooth time. And then they got to the store and then they got home and they like had me in a little carrier and brought me up to the front steps. And my dad put his key into the front door. And he said that they looked at each other and said, now what do we do? And they both kind of laughed. And I was like, holy shit. That's like, this is as close to that as I've ever felt in my life.
Yeah. I mean, that is what it feels like. I was sharing with you earlier this week that it feels like you get a puppy and you're so excited. And the first day it's super fun. And then you have this weird moment of like, oh, look at her. You have this weird moment of like, did I just make the biggest mistake I've ever made in my entire life? Mm-hmm. And because it's just nothing uproots your life like adding a member of a family or having one die. Like,
oh, wow.
You know, like it's just such big overnight change. And within that, you find a rhythm and you find a routine and it ends up being fine. Always. I've never regretted getting an animal ever. And obviously.
And you've always had animals. Yeah.
My entire life. I've had rabbits. I've had dogs. I've had, you know, and as an adult, I've always had at least two animals, never less. And I've never regretted it. But the adjustment period is challenging for the first month or two, and then it gets so fun and easy.
Yeah, I think I picked just a weird time because it's when it's hottest out here and like people are already feeling cooped up. And yeah. I think if I just knew that they couldn't really go outside in like a meaningful, real way, like to potty train them, unless you can guarantee that like a sick dog hasn't like walked or peed or pooped over like the grass they're on. I don't. Like if I'd waited until I moved, either way, again, it's like, except the things I can't change. Fucking, it is a banger.
Yeah.
But listen up, Barbara. I cannot change the fact that I brought home a little 8-week old puppy. Nope. I can only accept it, and I can only do the best job I can. And everyone I talk to is like, your concern means that you're going to be like a great, like owner to this dog. And even as I'm like bringing her out of the pen and like showing her the crate and being like, do you like to go in here? And she's like, I do, but I think it's fun. And I think I play in here. I'm like, well, you actually sleep in here. And she's like, well, here's the thing. I've only been alive since June, so I don't know anything. And I'm like, okay, cool. Would you like to eat more of your food? And she's like, actually, I hate the dry food, so I'm going to eat around it. And I'm like, would you like to eat it out of my hand? And she's like, I'll eat a little bit out of the hand. And it's like, just learning all that shit, and then me like sitting cross-legged on the floor inside her pen at 7 a.m. being like, I am feeding a dog like so sopping wet, like dry and wet food mixed together with water, and I 2 weeks ago could do whatever I wanted in my life. And so I know it's going to change, but like Stevie has been unbelievable with solicited advice and tips, just because like she's like the number one dog person that I know. And And you know, her dogs are all obviously smaller than mine, but this is, I feel like she's going through it with me, and it's not, I don't take it lightly. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And just know it does get better. It gets a lot easier. And that I'm going through it with you. I, this morning, was sitting on the floor at 8 a.m. hand feeding boyfriend, but not hand feeding him because he's very particular. It's half wet, half dry. He likes when I take it and I set it about an inch in front of his feet, and then he takes it. But he doesn't want to eat from my hand, and he doesn't want to eat from the bowl. And honestly, whatever works, dude.
Yeah, whatever keeps him alive. That's so funny. God, I want to be like, dude, this is food. You don't like it? It's food. It's like the best part of life. You get to eat food.
And people will be like, just wait until they're hungry and they'll eat. And I'm like, yes, I know. But also at the same time, like, nutrition for puppies is really important because that's how they grow. And I'm like, I'm willing to sit on the floor right now, so I'm going to.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like I really thank you for indulging the dog ramble. Listeners, you can send us your own dog ramble via voicemail 213-458-5236. When this comes out, I don't know if we'll have recorded our 100th episode, but we are soliciting messages for our 100th episode.
Yes.
I believe you will probably be it'll be just under the gun, but if you have anything you'd like to say to us, anything at all, anything you've thought or felt or experienced, if you're a longtime listener, and I know we have some of them, you can send us a message, 213-458-5236. You can email us at ivereverythingpod@gmail.com. rate, review, and subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff. Until then, Steve, stay safe, stay sane, and stay mixing that wet and dry food together.
Thanks, Dave. I'll see you soon.
I'll see you very soon, I hope. Bye. Bye.
Betsy Stover.
And I'm Amanda Allen.
And we do a podcast called
Why Mommy Drinks.
Each episode, we have a guest and we all share a story of a time that our kids drove us to drink.
Parenting isn't easy, but it sure can be funny.
Listen to us on Campfire Media.
Why Mommy Drinks.
Campfire.